We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Ein Gimel in the Shalem edition, Reish Beis in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. So we had seen previously that Ran had explained that the root of everything we do is in our heart, is in our soul, and is in our thought. And our actions, our mitzvot, are most greatly affected by our soul, where our soul is holding. Meaning, a specific mitzvah has a certain amount of weight, but where your heart is, well, that affects everything you do, because that affects every mitzvah you do. That's the beginning of everything. And so the Ran had gone on to explain that that's the idea of why we sometimes find that the prophets had music in order to get them into the mood to have prophecy. And that is because the prophecy goes hand in hand with the physical side of the human being. Meaning when a person comes in contact with something that's pleasant to him, so then his koach hamidameh, his capacity to prophesize, also gets strengthened. So it goes hand in hand. The physical body is, when the physical body is, so to speak, in sync, when everything is flowing, you hear good music, you're calm, so then your thoughts, your spirit, also take on new heights, and then a person can attain prophecy. We are composed of the physical and the spiritual, and they are intertwined. Umipnei ze yusal safek gadol. And with this concept, we can answer a great question, v'hu, and that is, Ech yirtze Hashem yitbarach sheyeh Yitzchak mevarechet Yaakov, v'hu lo haya yodeh sheya Yaakov. We have this fantastic story. Yitzchak wants to bless Esav. Yaakov tricks him, gets all dressed up, comes in and gets the blessing. And we see that Hashem approved of the blessing. How so? What is Hashem interested in a blessing? What relevance is there to a blessing when Yitzchak does not know that he's blessing Yaakov? Yitzchak is giving this whole great blessing, assuming he's talking to Esav. Yitzchak thought it's Esav. So why did Hashem want it to play itself out that way? Hashem could have easily told Yitzchak, hey, Yitzchak, you should be blessing Yaakov. That's not Esav standing in front of you. That's Yaakov, and that's the way it should be. But Hashem didn't do that. Hashem allowed Yitzchak to be in the dark. Yitzchak's giving this whole blessing, and only afterwards does Yitzchak discover, hey, it was Yaakov who got the blessings. Why did Hashem want that? Even though we've already explained earlier in the previous speech that the blessings weren't detracted by the fact that Yitzchak didn't know it was him, nonetheless, it would seem more fitting that Yitzchak should know who he's blessing at the time of the blessing. So why did Hashem let it play itself out this way? And furthermore, why did Hashem let it happen this way? It was the root of tremendous enmity. Eternal hatred between Yaakov and Esav came out of that trick, that Yaakov tricks Esav and gets the blessing. Esav had eternal enmity towards Yaakov, because he says, look at you. You stole my blessings. You know what? All of this could have been avoided had Hashem said something. Why didn't Hashem just tell Yitzchak, go bless Yaakov? Yitzchak wants to bless his children, so let Hashem tell him, Yitzchak, go bless Yaakov. That's it. Simple. That tshuva bazeh. And so the answer, says the Ran, shemvuahu bapasuk Yitzchak haya ohev et Esav. The pasuk tells us, Yitzchak loved Esav. And undoubtedly, Yitzchak was unaware of Esav's evil actions. As our sages tell us, that Yitzchak didn't know all that Esav was doing. Esav was tricking Yitzchak. Had Yitzchak gotten a prophecy, had Yitzchak been told prophetically, go bless Yaakov, leave Esav, the guy you love, and safek sheitatzev bazeh, then undoubtedly Yitzchak would have been saddened. Ve'yeh itzbono, siba shelo tachul alav, ruach Hashem yitbarach al hashlemut. Once he was saddened, Yitzchak would no longer be able to get that spiritual height necessary in order to give the blessing. Yitzchak has to be on a spiritual high. To be on that spiritual high, he has to be happy. If he hears such devastating news, your son's a murderer, he's a rapist, he's a thief. That's what Esav was. Chazal say Esav would wait till the husband would leave home and then he'd sneak into the house, committing adultery here, committing rape there, committing murder down the block. That was Esav. Yitzchak was unaware of it. Go tell Yitzchak, you know, Esav isn't such a hotshot like you think. Go bless Yaakov. Yitzchak would be devastated.
Yitzchak devastated to hear that Yaakov tricked him?
No. We'll see in a minute. And anyways, at that point, the blessing was done. Hashem wanted Yitzchak on that high where he thinks both my children are fine, they're great, I'll just bless the firstborn. I'll bless Esav. Ulefichach atzah Hashem yitbarach sheyesavu levrech teisav ha'uvo. Hashem wanted Yitzchak to think, I'm blessing the one I love, my Esav. Kedei sheyitrachev libo v'yismach v'yasig ruach elokim b'techlit ma sheyav shalo la'asig. Because in so doing, Yitzchak was so happy. My firstborn is living up to what I was hoping he'd be. My Esav. My darling. My tzaddik. So now Yitzchak is so happy. If he's so happy, and he's never going to have this happiness again in his life. Once he discovers that Esav is not what he thinks he is, Yitzchak is never going to be the same. And so the spiritual height that Yitzchak attains at that moment is the apex. That's the highest he's going to get. And that's what Hashem wanted. That he should have the greatest prophecy, the greatest spirituality when he's blessing Yaakov. And that's also why Yitzchak tells Esav, Vaseli matamim kasher ahavti v'avi ali v'ocheila v'avut v'arecha nafshi. Yitzchak tells Esav, go make me good food the way I like. Let me eat it so that my soul will bless you. Yitzchak says, I'm nearing my deathbed. Ratzah, what Yitzchak meant to say, shetitrachev nafsho v'tismach v'tachul alav ruach nevui. Yitzchak needs good food. Yeah, that's the idea we said earlier. The spirit is connected to the body. When the body enters a state of tranquility, of calmness, of happiness, that's when you can get the greatest spirituality. And that's why Hashem wanted him to think he's blessing Esav as he's blessing Yaakov. So that he'd be tranquil. So that he'd be happy. So that he'd be calm. And the truth is, the Rishonim bring a minog that goes in line with this Ran. They say that the whole idea that we throw candies at a chasan and at a bar mitzvah stems from an ancient minog that everyone would bless the chasan and the bar mitzvah on the day that they were rejoicing. Now, if we come to bless someone, then we have an issue. Chaim is upset because his wife gained 50 pounds. So how come, you know, this young chasan gets a beautiful kala and I'm stuck with a refrigerator? Shmuel is upset about the bar mitzvah. His own son isn't willing to learn the trap. His own son isn't willing to learn how to lane. How come this kid lanes so beautifully and my son isn't? Avner is upset because he doesn't have any children. Yerucham is upset because he never found a wife. Everyone sits in shul and they bring their own tzaros with them. And when it comes time to give someone else a blessing, so every person walks over to give a blessing. We all put a smile on our face, but we have that kvetch in our heart of, but my life isn't perfect. So the custom was that when you'd come to give the chasan or the bar mitzvah a blessing, first the chasan or bar mitzvah would give you candy. You'd make a bracha and put the candy in your mouth. Now as you're sucking on the candy, you, for a split second, you're not thinking about anything else. You're only thinking about the sweet candy that's in your mouth. That split second brings you to a certain state of tranquility. Now give a bracha. That's the ancient custom. That every one of us, you know, we have a hard time, in Yiddish they call it the fargin. We have a hard time to be really happy for the other person. We're so busy with ourselves. And we each have the issues that we wish were different in our own lives. So comes this minig and says, so before you give a blessing to the chasan and the bar mitzvah, each person takes a sweet, that they give them each person a sweet, and for a minute you calm down. That's the idea of Yitzchak blessing Esav. Yitzchak tells Esav, go make me good food. I'll have the good food. I'll be calmer. I'll be happier. And then on that height, I will give you a blessing. V'im tachshev etomar. And maybe you'll ask, Im ken echto'il abrachal Yaakov. ולמה אמר יצחק לעשיו, אין גביר שמתיו לך, ואת כל אחיו נתת לו לעבדים, ולחייפו מעשה בני? יותר מ... Wait a second. Yitzchak asked for good food from Esav. Yitzchak figures, if Esav brings me the good food, I'll calm down, I'll be happier, I'll bless him. So then how did these blessings work for Yaakov? How come when Esav comes in a minute after Yaakov, Yitzchak tells him, I can't give you any blessings, I gave Yaakov everything. How did Yitzchak really make him the master? What value was there in Yitzchak's blessing if he really meant to give it all to Esav? We have a rule in halacha. If you mean to say something to your wife, you say it to your daughter, you mean to say it to your daughter, you say it to your wife, it has no validity. What you say to one person, we don't look at the words that were said, we look at your intent. So then how come Yitzchak seems to concede that the blessings are Yaakov's? And why didn't Esav come with that claim? Esav is here begging, I want a blessing. Esav should have said, Dad, what's the blessing worth? You didn't even know it was Yaakov. You thought you were blessing me. How come Yitzchak and Esav both assume that the blessings work? They're Yaakov's. It's over. Esav should have said, that was a mistaken blessing. It's not going to help many. Now give me the blessing. Bam. One sentence. Iran just said a bombshell. When a prophet acts in prophecy, it is not the human being acting. It is not his free choice. Now I'm going to say what I want. Yitzchak's blessing was a prophetic blessing. So then the prophetic blessing is not him, it's God talking through him. The prophet doesn't choose the ideas he's going to express. The prophet doesn't choose the words he's going to express. Now that's Iran's chiddush. Not everyone agrees to that. Some Rishonim hold that the prophet doesn't choose the vision he sees, but the words are the prophet's own choosing. This is a big chiddush what the Iran says, that the words, we don't usually assume that. We assume the words of prophecy are the prophet's. And that's why different prophets had different styles, because it was an expression of the prophet himself. The vision is godly, the interpretation is godly, the words are the prophet's, other than Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Ran doesn't go with that. The Ran says a big chiddush here. He says, no, even the words are not the prophet's own decision. Avalukli levadele, says the Ran, the prophet is the vessel. The prophet is like a funnel, everything goes through him, but there's nothing of him in it. If you want to look at a glass mirror, you're going to see as much sun as you focus it on the sun. It's only a reflection. That's how the prophet is to God. He's a reflection of the prophecy. That's it. There's nothing of him in it. When he gets Hashem's spirit, he has exact words. Limited words. The prophet does not choose the words for the vision that he sees. The Ran is going head on with other Rishonim here. The Ran is saying very clearly, every prophet gets these words from God. Now that's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. Because we, other Rishonim say, no, that's only Moshe Rabbeinu. Other Rishonim say that's why with Moshe Rabbeinu we say every word of Torah is Torah. And in prophets, you have to understand the concept. It's not enough just to read the words. But no, the Ran says, every prophet, every word is Hashem. Huma she'amar David alav ha'shalom, ruach Hashem dibar bi u'milato al-lashoni. You see, the verse says in Psalms, in the book of Shmuel, David says, Hashem's spirit is what spoke within me, it is His word that is on my tongue. Amar ki ha'dibur hu yevoenu beruach Hashem itbarach, ve'lo kavanat ha'inyan levad, ve'shu yichadesh ha'milot ha'nimshachot la'kavanah. David HaMelech begins by says, Ruach Hashem diber bi. Hashem's spirit is within me. And you might think it's just the vision, it's just the idea. That's why David HaMelech repeats and says, Umilato aleshoni, aval gam amilot unchu meet Hashem aleshono. The words, Hashem puts these exact words on his tongue. He has no free choice when it comes to which words he will use to express the prophetic vision. The prophet is simply a vessel. He is the vessel through which people see the light of prophecy. Through him they hear the words of Hashem. But he is a vessel. He has no say in which words come out. And that's where we'll pick up in Zanchim next week.